We're now back on lecture 8 at page 10, lecture 8, page 10. And what I'm going to do next sort of uses a fair amount of notation. And so if you don't remember all of the notation, which is likely, it's a good idea you stop the sound clip, go back in the slides to understand the notation, and then start the sound clip again. I'll try to remember to make a little bit of a break when this might be a good idea. So you, it's easier to do the stopping and starting. So on page 10, it's given the intuition behind the Merton model. And that's the first bullet point, and then you have to remember the notation of the BTIs, which were given earlier. And for this, there's a common process, T0, it's a common Brownian motion, which represents the economic environment, and an individual process, WTI, which is unique for obliger I, so it's only effects obliger I, and all these WTs are independent Brownian motions. And so in bullet point 2 of page 10, it said that this means that the asset for each obliger I depend both on a macroeconomic random process, which is common for all obligers. So you think about this is the state of the economy, or the state of the part of the economy which affects this particular set of obligers which are in the loan portfolio. And then there is this is a common macroeconomic random process. Then there is also also idiosyncratic random processes, that is, processes which are unique to each obliger and independent between obligers. And here, idiosyncratic is sort of a typical standard term used in macroeconomics. You might not have seen it before. And it's this common process which creates a dependence among the obligers. And we'll sort of specify this a bit by computing the covariance between the BTIs and between, say, BTI and BTJ for I different from J. So, for example, to compute the covariance between the B, which belong BT1, which belongs to the first obliger, and BT2, which of course belongs to the second obliger. And now you've presumably looked it up already, but otherwise you should remember what the BTs were. They were this weighted sums of the WT0 and the WTI. So doing the computations, the covariance between BTI and BTJ is, by the general formula for covariances, equal to the expectation of BTI times BTJ minus the expected value of BTI and times the expected value of BTJ. Now, there was the part of the definition of Brownian motion said that they had mean zero. The increment from 0 to 1 had a normal distribution with mean zero and variance t, so the means are zero. So you can forget about the second term in the top on the top, and then you need to compute the expectation of BTI times BTJ, And then in the second equality, the formulas for BTI and BTJ are inserted. So that's only a definition. The third inequality, well, then you want to do the expectation of the product, and then you can just multiply it together, the two parentheses. And the first term you get is rho times W2T0. The second term you get is rho times square root of rho times square root of 1 minus rho times the expectation of WT0, WT1 plus the expectation of WT0, WTJ plus 1 minus rho times the expectation of WTJ, WTI. I'll make a little break here so you can check that the multiplication is correct. Okay, to get the last inequality, the last equality on the page, you just realize that the expected value of WTJ and WTI is zero if I equals J, and that is because the WTJs and the WTIs are independent. So the expectation of the product is a product of the expectations, and the individual expectations are zero. So on the bottom line, if you put an extra equality, you have that the expected value of WTJ times WTI equals the expected value of WTJ times the expected value of WTI, which is zero times zero, which is zero. And if you use this, you get the last equality on page 10. So on page 11, the first thing is done is you compute, instead of covariances, you can compute correlations, which are somehow easier to interpret. And the definition of correlation is, of course, it's the covariance times the square, the covariance divided by the product of the first standard deviation times the second standard deviation, or the square root of the first variance times the square root of the second variance. And so the top we computed on the previous slide, on slide 10, and that was rho t. If you do the same, and this computation was done for I different from j, which is what we're interested in here. And then if you do the same calculation for I equals j, then instead of rho t, you get t. So this gives you the second equality in 4. That is, this ratio equals rho t times the square root of t times the square root of t, which equals rho. So the correlation between BTI and BTJ for I different from J is rho. And this is the mutual dependence about among the obligers created by the macroeconomic latent variable WT0, the state of the economy. And the second bullet point, of course, if rho is zero, then the correlation is zero, and the obligers are independent. And then the idea, which is going to give the Merton mixed binomial model, is that the obliger defaults if this geometric Brownian motion goes below some level di, where so far the DIs could be different from for different obligers. Okay, so this is equation 5. It says that the obliger defaults if the Brownian motion, which for this obliger is less than the constant DI. And if you take logs in 5 and move log DI from the right-hand side to the left-hand side, you get the expression 6. I think we'll stop here.